Welcome, welcome, welcome everyone to another episode of Faith All Over the Place, the Bourbon and Whiskey Fuel podcast that seeks to bring people together and hope that it doesn't end in pickleball. Coming to you from a glorious late winter day in Sonora Desert, I'm Stephen Cruiser. Joining me from deep in the woods of Georgia is my co-host, Chris Queen, and our guest today, as promised, joining us from Christian Broadcast Network Studios, my old friend, Billy Hallowell. How are you today, Billy? Thank you for being here.
I am so good. And it's so good to hear you because I you know, hear your voice. I'm remembering our fun hangout in LA years ago at an event. I don't even remember what event we were at, but we had such a good time. So it's good to reconnect with you.
Well, you and Chris say your hellos and everything, and then I'll tell everybody what that was because it was like, I remember it.
Nice to meet you, Billy.
It's nice to meet you. It's exciting. I love that you guys are all around the country here too. I'm in Virginia right now. You guys are in Georgia. You're out and out west. This is awesome.
It's fun.
The event was Glenn Beck wanted to get into movies and television, so he gathered all of the entertainment industry's secret underground people in L.A.
Downtown. Oh my god, your memory is so good.
He was there for the cable conference convention that they do every summer, and we were there for that. And then at the end of the night, and the booze was free. I mean, you wouldn't expect that from a Glenn Beck event, but booze was free, plentiful, and really good. And at the end of the night, Matthew Marsden and I had a good buzz on, and we were trying to convert the heck out of Billy.
You guys were. You know what's so funny? You're trying to de-evangelical me. I remember this. It's funny because you have such a good memory because I worked for Glenn and I don't even remember what the event was. I just remember hanging out with you and Matthew, and you guys were totally trying to make me Catholic, and it was a lot of fun. We had a really good night.
We were leaning hard with the transubstantiation that night. And you know what? Out of all of the tea party things that I've went to over the years and everything, I only did that a few times, but it stuck once. It worked once. So
that's so funny.
I'll take that. So, Billy, you fit in with so much of what we talk about here right now. It's not just the faith stuff. One of the things we come up with right now is, you know, I've been following you. I've known you a long time. You know, we go back to the tea party days. We go back and you do something. You're doing a lot of culture, a lot of faith. This is a big compliment to you. You're one of the only people I follow on Instagram who talks about politics. Instagram is my politics-free zone.
That's smart. I like that.
Oh, yeah, it definitely is.
I follow you mostly for the faith stuff, but you talk about politics. You're a journalist, and you deal with just straight, hard news stories sometimes, but you're straddling, you know, the faith and politics, and we have another podcast on this site that talks about that a lot, but you're here, and I wanted to talk to you about, Chris and I were just talking about last week, about a lot of people of faith will say the easiest way to remain spiritual and sound and everything is just to avoid the news. Well, people like us, we can't avoid the news. So how do you balance it? Do you talk from the news? Do you have to pray before you every news story you have to talk about? How does that work in your world?
You know, it's funny because I go through periods of time, like years where, you know, for instance, I worked at The Blaze for almost 6 years. Then I worked at a number of other outlets. Then I went over to FaithWire for 3 years and CBN. And then I hit in about 2016, I hit a wall where I said, and I think it was really God kind of being like, okay, you need to take a break. And I went to PureFlix for 3.5 years and I worked in film and entertainment. And, you know, I still dabbled and did a column and stuff, but I really took a detox for a few years. And I thought, you know what, I'm probably done with this. And then all of a sudden, God was just like, no, you're not. You're going to go back to CBN again. And I came back. And I think the break, the short answer is I never detox, but I did during those 3 years. And I think the break gave me a chance to kind of process the first Trump term and all the chaos that was going on and be in a really healthy place to kind of learn some new skills so that when I came back to do this again, I was able to do it in a healthier way. And so I love the news, and I've really been here at CBN, at Christian Broadcasting Network, I'm able to actually, yeah, we tell the news stories and we do breaking news, but I also can tell stories that really matter of people converting to faith and people finding faith. And, you know, and so that, it's almost, I have no real hobbies, which my wife will tell you, it probably annoys her. My hobby is working. I love to work. I love the news. So I no longer get tired of it because I have such a good balance now in the types of stories I'm able to do and what I get to talk about. So I feel really good about that, which I know might sound weird, but yeah, I have no hobbies, A, and B, I love to work.
That makes sense. It really does. When you write about new stuff, Billy, are there things that you like, are there certain topics that you go, look, I'm not going to touch that. I'm not going to go near that. Are there any, you know, things that you just are kind of feel like you are outside of your realm that you just don't want to deal with because it may, you know, affect your attitude or your mood or even just kind of frustrate you as a Christian?
You know, I love that. I love that question because I think there are so many stories, particularly, I got to be honest with you, when the airplane crash in DC, those stories and I can't believe I'm saying this, I've actually found them to be harder to tell. You know, when there's a big human toll in a story, those are the only stories that actually really get to me. That particular story really got to me earlier this month. And that is one time. So I'll give a little caveat to what I said before. The politics, all that, the contentious issues, the fighting over things, you know, the trans stuff, all I have no problem talking about that stuff. That doesn't bother me. But when there's mass suffering like that, I do sometimes have to take a little bit of a break from that or tell the story in a different way or find a better balance when those stories are happening. That particular week was really tough and it can affect you when you're just so in those stories all the time. So that would be one type of story that I don't love to tell those stories every day. They have to be told, right. But I don't love to.
Right.
When you start your day, how are you approaching things right now? Are you approaching things as a news journalist who wants to give the Christian perspective on it? Are you looking for cultural stories that you've got? Are you looking for, you know, like podcast guests who you're just going to talk about faith and maybe not the news as much? Or is it just like a complete mishmash for you and you go with whatever you've got for the day?
Yeah, I mean, it's total chaos, really, in a good way. I mean, really, I get up pretty early and I kind of have an idea of what the day is going to look like. Actually, it's funny because I've gone from mostly writing to it's inverted now, and I'm mostly doing video interviews. And so a lot of what I'm working on now, and I obviously have this documentary that we'll talk about, but I'm doing video and then feeding podcasts through that and then feeding the writing through that. So the writing is actually coming almost tertiary or secondary now to everything else. But the types of stories I'm really looking for, you know, I'm looking for a mix every single day. Like if there's a day where I'm telling a news story about something that's happening, some legal battle, and then in addition to that, I'm talking to Lola Sheen, Charlie Sheen's, you know, daughter about converting to Christianity. And then there's some story about, you know, polling data on faith. That's a good day for me. Like, I feel like I've been able to do a mixture of things. And I think it's important, you know, for me to be able to do those different things. But the thing I love to do most is to tell those stories like Lola Sheen, to tell the stories of somebody going from not knowing who God was to knowing or having some sort of miraculous thing happen to them, because that's what really matters. The other stuff matters, but the stories of faith and transformation, like at the end of the day, those are that's the real bread and butter of life. And so that's where I love to place my focus when I can. And of course, every day is different. You know, in addition to CBN, I write a column for the Washington Times every week. And I also do some work with the Christian Post and a number of other outlets. And I do a lot of podcast hosting outside of CBN too. So there's always a lot going on.
You go, Chris. I'm sorry, I keep talking.
It's all right. What doing? You know, writing versus podcasting and making videos. Is the mindset different for you in terms of the way you tell the stories?
Absolutely. You know, I got to tell you, I have felt, and maybe this is weird, I don't know, but all of these years of interviewing people now, I've really kind of, and it depends on the venue. There's times you have to do the news thing, and that's not my natural. My natural thing is what we're doing now, is just to talk. You know, there are times you have to read off a teleprompter, and I have a show every week I do called Newsmakers for CBN where I'm reading off the teleprompter and I'm doing, and it's fine. And I like that, but to be able to communicate with people in a way that's conversational, that's been a real goal of mine where it doesn't feel like an interview. It feels like you're having a conversation. And I sometimes will even forget that I'm doing an interview because I'm so interested in the person I'm talking to. And so that has been, you know, there's certain podcasts, you know, I host one called Playing with Fire, and it's about evil and actually, you know, biblical evil and what that looks like. And people talk about all sorts of wild stories of their possessions and their healings and their deliverance ministries. It's some people would say it's a weird podcast. I have found it fascinating. that's one where you really have to take that conversational tone because it's a tough topic. And so for me, it's all about trying to be conversational and approach it that way. Even in the news, you know, I've tried to move more in that direction because I think people are craving news right now. And maybe you guys will disagree. I'd love to hear this. They're craving interaction, like what you guys are doing. They want to interact with the hosts of things. They don't just want to be bystanders watching a TV. A lot of people want to be a part of the conversation. And that's just where we are right now.
Yeah, yeah, that makes sense.
It's a part of the way we consume news now, too, especially younger people. They're not watching TV. They're not listening to the radio. They're looking at their phones. That's the way it is right now. About the multimedia thing, and this will be a good way to jump into the talking about the documentary. Is Chris and I were talking about something last week. We were talking about Bible study and the fact that, you know, I was like, thanks to my Protestant friends, I have better Bible study skills than a lot of my Catholic friends do. And Chris was mentioning, you know, he likes, you know, when he can't eat, you know, he uses the apps on his phone to read the Bible. And some people have like hinted that that might be cheating or something. And I started to think about multimedia, faith, the modern era. And I was thinking, what if this was, you know, these were early biblical times right now? What if, you know, Jesus had waited till now, okay? And, you know, we were in the early days of the church and St. Paul was active now. St. Paul, my firm belief is that he would have availed himself of every media outlet that he possibly could have because he had a very ambitious ministry from the get-go. He'd have an app. He'd have a podcast. I think using everything available right now to get a message out and to have the dialogue, as you just said, about people with people of faith is like the greatest thing ever. I think this is a golden opportunity.
There's no question there.
I'm sorry.
I was gonna say, like, when you look at what Jesus did, I mean, it's obviously he's God, right? But when you look at what he did, he's traveling around, you know, having this impact on the entire world through just, you know, 12 people who join him and then other people, and it just grows and it grows. It's like, I mean, we have tools now and we're not able to do those things, but can you imagine if he had the tools, how much bigger, how much quicker it would have even happened? But that's the miraculous part of it. I think as Christians today, especially people who are super concerned about the culture and where it is and all the wild things that are going on, when you look at the trajectory, I mean, even this last election, right? And I'm not equating Christianity with the election, but I do think there's a parallel thing happening right now in the country where the political structures are changing. At the same time, the social and theological structures are changing because people are tired of being lied to. And so there's this common stream, but it's the podcasters. It's the, what you were just talking about. It's these alternative modes of communication that are actually shifting the tides in really interesting ways. So I think absolutely Jesus would have been, he would have been on Spotify. He would have been everywhere.
Well, yeah. And you know, also, you know, Jesus was a storyteller, you know, and that's a big deal. And he was interactive with people. He answered questions and he reacted to the statements that people made when he spoke. Yeah. So,
I wasn't as Christ-centric on that one. Cause I just went with the whole Jesus is God and figure out something on his own anyway. You know, I was more thinking about Paul at the time because he was just such an outlier, you know, when he first came into the fold, he wasn't exactly into the fold right away. He was himself. He had this, people didn't just get on a boat and go far away then unless they were part of a conquering army. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Right.
they didn't just grab their bestie and say, hey, we're going to go up here. Now we're gonna go to Greece and see what's happening there.
We're gonna road trip.
That just to the Mediterranean. let's talk about because Billy's a busy guy. It was like when I was waiting to hear from you earlier today. I said, hey, he's probably recording something, and he has something else he needs to record when he's done here. So tell us about the documentary. Tell us, just give us the whole.
Yeah, thing. You know. This is one of those things where God does some really funny things sometimes in life, and you're just like, okay, like I don't know what you're doing here. But this documentary, it was actually a proposed TV series. We were talking about doing a TV series at CBN that looked at the supernatural, looked at different topics, and we started filming. And when we went out to film, we wanted to look at miracles, angels and demons, and heaven and hell, which obviously small topics, but huge topics that we wanted to cover from a journalistic perspective. And our thought was, if we go in and we do this, we can create these three 30-minute pieces. And as we started doing the miracles portion, we realized this is a feature film and this is not a series. It's a feature film series, probably. And so we have put together Investigating the Supernatural Miracles. And this is a film. It's over an hour and 10 minutes long. It is, again, full feature length. And it dives in from a journalistic Christian perspective into these wild stories of people who have had medical miracles that are unbelievable. And so I basically went around the country with the team and we found these stories, we dove into them, we provided the evidence, and we allowed the viewer to decide what they want to decide. But it's very different from a lot of the other miracle documentaries in the approach to it. And I think, honestly, the evidence is just so overwhelming. So that has been amazing. And if people are interested, they can go to cbn.com/supernatural. It's streaming right now. It's available. And it's just been super encouraging.
And the response is, I assume, wonderful.
It's the response has been, I think, look, if you're an atheist or an agnostic, the response is going to be that, you know, this is BS, this isn't true, this is whatever. You know, and I actually welcome that. I think the problem that they're going to have is that these stories, if you have a brain tumor, okay, and your brain tumor is not operable, you can't do anything to treat it, and that brain tumor disappears without doing anything and leaves behind only scar tissue, I think you have a situation where an atheist or agnostic is pressed against the wall and has to figure out, well, then what happened here? And so that's the kind of content that we're dealing with here. And I think for Christians, look, a lot of Christians are debating whether or not, for Catholics, you guys don't have a problem with miracles. You love miracles. But for a lot of other Christians, there's a debate about whether or not miracles still happen today. And a lot of people will say they don't. And they'll claim that it ceased and it's not happening. And so it provides a challenge to that too. And the last thing I'll say in this TED talk on my different, you know, perspectives on Christians on this is that the Christians who believe in miracles already, I think this will be faith affirming for them because it really does. I went in it skeptically, right? And I left it as a Christian, but skeptically, and I left it feeling very convicted about that. And yeah, so anyway, that, it's a lot, but it's amazing.
Well, we did time of like some radical conversions, like early, you know, we'll be living in the era of Russell Brand. Okay, so
yeah.
There's stuff going on out there that's hard to believe, but yeah, Catholics do are, we're easier with mystery stuff. Like that's one of the oldest lines in my act. So. But we Catholics don't kill ourselves with stuff like that. We just say it's a mystery. We get drunk and we move on stress-free. 2,000 years.
Jesus. Oh my God.
Jesus said more wine and we did not question it.
That is a miracle you love.
I think this is the best chance for people for any kind of radical conversion right now is to use the modern methods. And that's like, and I'm going, so what I'm going to do now is like, I'm going to watch it and then I will write about it because I still have to write every once in a while. We're with you though. The more we can talk, the less we have to write.
Well, that's listen, true. I mean,
amen to that.
I love it. And I want you guys, I'm actually going to send you both screeners so you can watch this because I want everybody out there to go and watch it. And I want to hear what you didn't like about it. I want to hear, because I think we've got to start talking about these topics more. You know, Hollywood, the media, they have normalized so many things. They've pushed so many things. And I think a lot of Christians across the board, regardless of denomination, we've pulled back and we're not willing to talk about the things we think are weird. I mean, look, every Halloween, every Hollywood movie is about demons. And you've got Christians who believe in these things, actually believe in them, who don't want to talk about them. It's like, look, the people who don't believe it are talking about it and they're having a great time and they're diving in and they're not doing it the right way. But when it comes to miracles and evil and all these things, yeah, we should be opening those conversations because I actually think these are natural ways to bring people into faith when they start to see these things and understand that they're happening in the modern era.
I'm going to bring up something right now that's another two episodes worth, but so we don't need to get into it right away. We're talking about demons, talking about evil, talking about stuff like that. You know, they're like, it's de rigueur right now, especially on the right to bag on Pope Francis. It's de rigueur for Catholics to bag on Pope for conservative Catholic. As Chris knows, I am not one of those people, okay? Do I think he's perfect? No, but he's the Pope, and I don't expect him to be perfect, okay? And one of the things I have loved most about him and his time, because I knew very little about him as a cardinal, is he doesn't talk about evil in the abstract. He talks about the devil when he talks about evil, okay? Not, he doesn't pussyfoot the slightest bit. And he talks about it a lot. These are the kind of things that have gotten lost whenever, you know, everybody focuses on his political views, which I don't care about because I'm not voting for it. Okay. But he talks about the devil, and I zeroed in on that from the early days, where he is completely unafraid to go, no, it's not just some, this, oh, you know, this thing creeping it. No, it's the devil trying to get a hold of your soul. Okay. And I love that.
Well, I think too, that there's so much of a tendency in our modern world to just kind of abstractize evil. I don't know if that's a word. I just made it up. If it isn't,
you can make up words now. You live in that.
Yeah. I mean, why not? But, you know, and I really do think that that's a tendency, and people tend to ignore spiritual warfare discussions unless they are, I mean, a lot of times the hyper charismatic people might talk about that kind of thing, or, you know, Catholics definitely talk about it, but, you know, run of the mill Christians who don't see it in their daily lives don't, you know, they tend not to talk about it.
Yeah. Well, and I think that is, yeah. And I like what you said about, you know, how the Pope talks about evil too. I think, you know, you want to have a reasonable conversation about it. And then you also, like, I understand why the world doesn't believe in evil, why the world doesn't believe in miracles, meaning the people who don't believe. What is confusing to me is the people who are going to churches every week and they don't believe that Ephesians 6 is real, that there's spiritual warfare. They don't believe that, you know, that there is evil out there. They don't really want to think about it. They think miracles are just a thing that maybe happened 2000 years ago and at some undefined point disappeared. You know, I think where that gets confusing to me is it's like, well, how are you reading the Bible? And maybe they're not, I don't know, but how are you reading the Bible every day? And you, I mean, Mark 5 has like 12 miracles in it. I don't even know. There's a bunch of miracles in it alone. It's filled with these things. And yet we want to pretend. And here's what I'll say. I actually think the secular nature of this country and how there's been such a push in that direction, it has actually created a situation where people in the church are less likely to consider these things because we've been impacted by the world rather than being the ones that impact and start those conversations in the world around us. So I just think we have a little course correcting to do. I will say, I do think some of that is happening right now, which is why projects like this are even greenlit, that we can even be talking about it, right? So
I think my friend Billy Hallowell here has made a good case for being our first repeat guest.
There we go.
I will come back anytime.
A recurring guest, actually, because you bring up so many things. I would love to talk about the way things are changing in the world. I wanted to get around to talking about, you know, President Trump's seeming conversion, which Chris and I both think is legit and genuine. There's so much we could talk about. But Billy, my man Billy's a popular guy. Okay, he's gotta go get ready for another thing right now. So give us the whole width and breadth of your reach right now, Billy. As I told everyone, I'll put your Instagram handle in the, or Chris is gonna do the post, but we'll get all the relevant links to you in the post when we
definitely.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, you know, the big thing I would just tell people, head over to cbn.com/supernatural. That is the site. Watch the documentary there. You can grab it. It's a suggested donation. You can watch, you can stream it once you do that. And I would encourage people also, if you can go to my website, billyhallowell.com, and you can find the different things that I'm talking about and working on. But I just appreciate you guys having me on. I will come on this show anytime.
Well, we'll talk about that. We'll definitely keep in touch now. I'm glad we finally got this together, because you were the first guest I thought of when we decided to do this and make it guest oriented. So
I love it.
And so I'm glad we finally got to do this. I'm glad you made the time for us. I really do appreciate it. I love what you're doing. And I will tell everyone, if you are on Instagram, follow Billy there, because when you're doing a podcast, when you're doing one of the video things, you do put good little blurbs on there, good little teasers to give everybody an idea of what the episode's about. And who the guest is and everything. And it's been like, oh yeah, I that's interesting. And then, you know, and then so then you want to go watch it, you want to go listen to it. So thank you, Billy Howell. Thank you very, very much. Glad you and Chris got this digitally meet finally.
Thanks for coming on with us. We really, really had a great conversation.
And I love it. Well, thank you so much.
We will do this again soon. I promise you, I promise everyone.
I love it.